Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Step Into Your Sunshine. This is your host, Rachel Coudron, owner of RC Copywriting and Etsy Boutique Coudron's Curiosities. Today, I'm so excited. I have an absolute powerhouse in the house, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Rachel, for having me. So my name is Dana. You can find me everywhere, Dana, D-A-Y-N-A, at Oily Hair Boss. So I am actually a marketing strategist. I work with small businesses to help them kind of leverage their reach. And I do this by focusing on the metrics that count. When it comes to marketing as a small business, sometimes we get into those vanity metrics that they stroke our ego, but they do not actually convert to sales. And sometimes we get so caught up in doing all of that, that unfortunately we lose the essence of our brand and our business. So I love really working with small businesses to help get them back aligned. I also am very, very into holistic practices. So I incorporate that with my small businesses. I have some small businesses that we just simply use like things like essential oils and goal setting as tools. And then I have some small businesses that I work with that I actually teach them how to use within their small businesses to increase their profits as well.
Wow. See, all you guys listening in, powerhouse with me today. So one of the things that you talked about, Dana, that I'd love for you to just expand on a little bit is you emphasized looking at metrics that count. Can you tell us what are those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things that I find, especially from the like social media standpoint, is we as small businesses, and I'm going to group myself because I'm a small business too. We will look at like influencers who maybe have a reel that is like 1,000 views and 2,000 views. Well, if they're an influencer, how they make their money is different than how I, as a small business owner, make money, right? So just because I got 10,000 views, 1,000 views, that doesn't mean that someone is going to locally shop with me, right? So even I think about your business, right? Now, granted, you're on Etsy, so you can ship anywhere, right? Worldwide. But let's say you had a boutique that was just only local, right? Well, having 10,000 people across the pond in India watching your stuff is not going to convert to actually making money for you, right? So what you actually want to look more at is how many times are people clicking to go to your website? How many times are people actually sending you a message after you post something? How many times are people commenting and interacting? Those are really the metrics that you want to study. And you want to really look at what is the content that people that are actually buying or purchasing are following, right? Are you showing them how to use some of the skills or products that you sell? Those are really the metrics that you really, really want to focus on. And a lot of those you can find in professional mode on the back end of your social media, not necessarily just from the likes, the views, and those type of things.
Thank you for breaking that down for us. And for me, I remember when I started my jewelry business, I legitimately didn't know a single thing about business. I had this wild hair that I wanted to create jewelry made out of crystals. And I decided I'd use Etsy because it was the only platform I knew of. And voila, I just went full steam ahead. And when you talk about on the back end of social media, that is something that so many people don't understand, and they're not even aware that it exists. And so when you look at your insights, all of a sudden you're getting all this feedback. But then, even if you know how to find it, you emphasize being able to read it, looking at the things that actually matter, understanding the numbers that you're seeing and knowing what strategies you need to implement to increase the numbers that matter.
Yes, yes. And to that point, I feel like a lot of small businesses get burnt out, right? Because they're like, oh my goodness, I have to run my business and I have to be over here, but then I'm supposed to show up on social media and I'm supposed to do it this way and it needs to be pretty and it needs to look like this. And again, once you start studying those metrics, you might actually find that just a simple carousel every once in a while is what's winning. And it's not necessarily getting all of the likes, but you're like, oh my goodness, more people are saving this, meaning that, or more people are sharing it. So they're seeing your content They found value in it and they wanted other people to see it. Those are the people that are going to, as a small business, convert to sales. So I really, really think it's so, so important that we hone in on skills when it comes to like batching content, when it comes to scheduling content, because you should not have to feel like you need to show up everywhere as a small business owner, because your time, honestly and truthfully, could be better spent actually sitting with the clients that you work with or the customers that you work with. So some of those things need to be streamlined. So it's not really taking away from your money making.
Oh my goodness. I think this is so important to emphasize to all of our listeners, because many of the women and men that tune into this podcast are also business owners. And when you emphasize that, it just puts everything back into perspective, because we all get lost in the social media rat race of trying to be everywhere all the time. And I know that I am definitely have fallen victim to that mentality. And I think one thing that you mentioned, that just a little tip for people that are tuning in, batching content is revolutionary. And the first time I ever heard about this was actually from Dana when I became a US mid leader. She was telling me, oh, you could do this in like 3 hours. I'm like, what? No. And so she was walking me through how to do all that. And can you share just how do you batch content with our viewers?
Yeah. So I won't go too deep on this. So I'm also a big person when it comes to like cycle syncing as a woman. I am a strong advocate that you have creative flow more so at different times of the month than not. And sometimes as women, we force content when you don't have the energy, you don't have the flow, and it's not coming. And so with that said, I am big on actually looking at quarters. So I look at 3 months at a time. So I say, okay, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. Like, what does that look like? And what is going to be on the mind of those that I'm serving? One of the tricks that I tell people to do is, instead of only following people in your industry to get content, go to different search engines and actually see what people are searching that would allow your business to come up. And so what I mean by that is like, okay, I told you all that I'm a marketing strategist. Well, nobody is necessarily going to be searching marketing strategists, right? What they're going to be searching for is, how can I increase my sales? How can I show up less and make more money, right? Like, so you have to think of how they think when they're searching. So when you think about that, it allows your content creation to flow and come out so much easier. And so designate that time when you know you're going to be at the highest creative flow and say, this is when I'm going to sit down and actually batch. And so now, again, everybody's different. Like I said, I do 3 months at a time. I pick a specific period in the month to do it, but maybe you want to do it every Sunday. Maybe you're like, I just want to do maybe an hour. Maybe I just want to do 30 minutes. I don't have all that time. So I'm just going to do every Sunday for 30 minutes, an hour. And what you would actually sit down and do is create. So say, hey, I'm going to create a few carousels that I'm going to use in post. Carousels being like maybe posts that you have 1 to 3 that are kind of telling or teaching people what to do. Or I'm gonna do some video content. So I'm gonna give some short little tips, or even honestly and truthfully, there's tools now where you can go live without actually being live, which I do a lot, right? I love StreamYard. So that's something that I might batch video lives that I'm doing. And then I schedule it to go out throughout the month when I'm not at my highest and I know that I still want content to be flowing. So you definitely need to know you, but you need to be focused and know that, hey, this is how I'm going to create. The last thing that I will touch on that too is really repurpose. Sometimes I feel like small businesses get burnt out because they feel like, oh, I have to always create. I have to always create. The honest truth is I probably talk about 5 different things and that's it. And I just keep repurposing and recreating. So maybe one time it was a carousel, but now I'm going to make a video out of it. right? Or one time it was this, and I'm going to recreate the same message, but allow it to flow in just a different way. So really, really don't get scared thinking that you always have to create. You can repurpose things, especially if your message is pretty uniformed. People that saw your content 3 months ago don't even remember that you posted it 3 months ago. So if you post it again, it's fine.
Oh, I think that's so important because you are absolutely right. So many people are just pulling out their hair thinking about what are they going to create? Oh my gosh, you know, we're in July, and for product-based businesses, people are like, oh, Christmas in July. Oh my God, I have to be like working my tail off to create all this Christmas stuff to release this month. And I'm like, whoa, it is July. I mean, I get the idea, but it is July. We don't have to go full steam ahead. And I also love where you emphasize cycle syncing, because I didn't really know anything about it. And I had heard you mention it before. And then I had another MIB named Jan, and she actually got on a call with me and was telling me everything about it. I was like, oh my gosh, stuff is so interesting, because it was like, wow, there's actually more creative times throughout the month and better times for you to create content or to write. Or specifically for me with writing is if I line my clients up during specific times of the month, I'm at a higher level to produce better copy. I'm like, it just revolutionized my mind. I was just blown away by that idea. And if you guys don't know about cycle syncing, then you definitely want to hook up with Dana, and she will tell you all about it. She is an absolute expert, and she knows all of the things, and she will help you learn yourself better. Okay, Dana, I want to ask you a little bit more about you. So what were some of the defining moments in your life that shaped who you are?
Yes. So I actually had a very, very interesting start. And so I honestly believe that that was super pivotal to who I am, why I move the way I do. I will start by saying, so I am neurodivergent. So I am on the spectrum. The way I process and my brain kind of operates is different than most people. But one of the things growing up that I will say, my parents looked at it like, this is your superpower, and this is how we navigate. So I actually, my parents, so my real mother and my real father split when I was 10 months. So I never actually, saw them together. My mom got remarried when I was 3. My father got remarried when I was 5. And I start there because I actually believe that was probably the most pivotal shifts in life for me. So because for me, it was a lot of transition. I was raised and lived with my father and my stepmom. My stepmom is my mom. So I call her my mom. Usually when I am talking about my mom, I'm referencing my stepmom. But because they really, really honed into some of what maybe teachers and other people said were my learning disabilities, or what I wouldn't be able to do this, they chose to work more with me. So I also very hyper attention deficit. And so I remember as a child, them taking the time to study differently with me. Sometimes we would be on the floor learning things because I'm kinetic and I need to touch things and I need to feel things and I need to understand it. And they realized that I was highly intelligent, but the way the system was set up, it wasn't really harnessing those beautiful gifts that I had. So honestly and truthfully, I would say, as a child, that was pivotal to me, because I honestly don't believe there's things I can't do. And I know that could sound arrogant, but in my head, I'm like, we as humans have the ability to grow adapt and learn, right? And even if I'm not the best at something, I have the ability to learn. And it was because I had that foundation that if I don't understand it, I just need to adjust how I'm learning it. Maybe it's not me, maybe it's just the way it's being taught. And so that's how I really show up for my clients. That's how I show up for my kids. I homeschool my kids because I also saw with my children certain things that I'm like, no, we're gonna really dig deeper into this gifting. So really for me, I would definitely say those were some of the most pivotal moments. But with that being said, as you get older, obviously we live in this world that they're not as understanding of these things, right? So there's been obstacles where I had to prove to myself because the people around me didn't see it. And I do think it's powerful to have like strong communities that can feed into you, that are in the trenches with you, that really believe in you, because it's not always there. So you have to kind of know within yourself that you have that and keep pushing.
Oh my goodness. This really sparks a lot of memory for me when you talk about your parents not allowing it to be a deficit, only seeing it as a superpower and this is a strength, and we're going to figure out how to work around it, work with it, and lift you up. Because for me, not the same type of situation, or that I wasn't diagnosed with any neurodivergence. But for me, I was born hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. And I was completely deaf in my right ear. I was born with about a 20% loss of my left ear. And then I continually lost hearing until I turned 18. And that was the same mindset of my parents. Was my hearing was not allowed to be this deficit. Like, I wasn't allowed to not be able to do things or learn things or acquire things because of my hearing. And so when you talk about your mindset and how that shaped you as a child and how it shaped you as an adult, I feel much in alignment, because I also was only told like, this is an asset. You're going to figure out how to work around this so that you can move along with your life and you can be successful. And when you talked about obstacles, you know, and people not understanding, is I also can I relate to that in regards to my hearing, is many people feel, because I've lived here in France for 4.5 years now, that I should just be fluent in the French language. And some people feel that silently. Some people feel that through their energy and body language. And some people feel that very verbally and like to tell me about it. And I always have to remind myself that in the essence of the situation, they don't understand. They think that they understand. They think that 4.5 years, even though we've had COVID and lots of times totally isolated, that I had enough time to acquire the language. And, but the reality for my situation is that I can't hear all of the sounds that exist in French. And so I legitimately can't hear them. It doesn't matter how loud they become. It doesn't matter how they're presented. If I hear them, if I see them written, is when people speak, I cannot hear that sound. And so when you mentioned obstacles, it just really, I felt it inside me. I was like, yes, I know what that feels like. And having a strong community is so, so important when, whether, for me, MIB, Moms in Business International, has been a massive support for me and a community to help me grow. But also, just last week, I was talking to another, we'll say, less abled person, disabled person, and her focus was in vision loss. And just having those conversations, even though we didn't have the same disability, it was still, it felt wholesome. It was like, yes, someone finally understands me. Have you had any of those experiences?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like there always has to be someone that goes first. And with that being said, if you guys are listening to this and you feel alone in something, I would just implore you to speak up and speak out about it, because you will be surprised how many people you give permission to not feel so isolated and alone, because there's a lot of people that might feel the same way you do or operate the way you do, but they're not speaking up about it because they think they're alone. And so even for myself, it's interesting because my husband has harped on me probably for years, really, that he's like, you should talk more about being autistic. Like, you should talk more about being neurodivergent, because even, for example, I do a lot of speaking. Because I'm also dyslexic, I don't speak with notes. So I actually memorize everything that I'm going to say on stage. And people are always like, oh my God, I can't believe you do that. But I have to do that because I've tried to have speeches before and like my brain jumbles everything. And then I get up there and I can't express myself. And so when I started sharing that, right, within my MIB community, within my local community, I found other people, they're like, I have been so terrified to speak because I am also dyslexic and I am also autistic. And the fear of being in front of people, I didn't know there's another way for me to still express myself because I have something I'm passionate about, but I don't know how to express myself. And when you said, I just speak on what I've memorized, that opened up a way for me to be like, I can do that too. And I never thought about that as, oh, this is a gifting, because I don't see people doing that, right? And I'm very now vocal about, I am very introverted. A lot of people are shocked when I say that. I can be on video all day long in my home, going live, talking, because I don't see you guys, right? Like, I don't hear you. So I'm comfortable like that. When I first started doing in-person MIB events, a couple of my first events, honestly and truthfully, I had my guest speaker speak and I went and played with the kids because I'm like, there are so many humans here. Like, I know I invited them, but they actually showed up and they're here. Now, what do I do? So I say that to my community. My community knows that about me. And I always have people that step up and say, you know what? Me too. Actually, I felt I was terrified to buy this ticket. I was terrified to come into the room. I was terrified to do this, and I did it. And now I feel connected to you because we are not alone. We are in this together. And so I've had many, many experiences where I have expressed who I am, what my deficiencies are, and really formed strong bonds and friendships with people that are in the trenches with me.
Oh my goodness, that's so beautiful, because everything that you say is so true. Is when people feel heard and they feel seen and there's a person that's willing to take that first step and be first, then they're just like, oh my goodness, I can do this too.
Yeah.
They feel the pressure released. And I even talk about this on a previous episode where we talk about staying true to ourselves in family events, where if you feel like you have met your limit of what you can handle, it's okay to walk away. And, you know, many people there may feel the same way, but they feel that they're unable to move because of guilt. They feel like, I have to stay here because this is a family event. And so if you are the first person to go, everybody else is like, they feel that pressure release. Like, I can move too. I can leave. Yahoo. And so when you're talking about sharing all of those deficiencies with your community, I'm sure that the pressure and just deflates in the room. They're just like, we're all the same. Everything is okay. And I just think that's really moving and impactful, what you're doing. And when I express to people, you know, about my hearing or about that I'm not completely fluent in French, or that when I fly on Wednesday to go to England and I'm absolutely terrified of traveling alone, people are like, oh, you know, it's not just me. it's not just me that's terrified of traveling by yourself. I'm like, no, that's me every time. And so I think that mindset of being terrified, but doing it anyway, is really, really impactful.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And to your point with that, I always say this because it's true. I never feel like doing the things ever. So even when you say like the terrified, like, so a lot of times I just honestly count down like a child in my head and be like, go, because I know, like, if I tried to wait until I wasn't afraid and stuff, like, I'm just like, I move, like, I'm just going to move awkward. I'm just going to be a little strange. Some people are going to be attracted to it. And some people are going to be like, that child is weird, and keep moving on. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because it was hard for me just to make the move. Right. So I'm always going to be terrified. I'm always going to be afraid. So I'm just going to step out there and I'm just going to be genuine to who I am. And the people that are supposed to be attracted to me are going to come. And the people that aren't, it's fine. They will find their people and they will be just fine.
Absolutely. You invoked another memory in me when you were talking about being terrified. And I remember my first live with my jewelry business 6 years ago. And I had my laptop and I literally was hiding behind the camera, just like my fingers and the earrings in front of the screen. And I had to count myself down too. I was like, okay, 5, 4, 3. Okay, I touched it. I have to talk.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think so many of us can relate. And some people, they feel like, oh, I don't know what to say on lives. I'm like, well, don't even give yourself a chance. Just, you know, you decided you're going to do it, then do it. And for me, I also talk about sort of bribing myself, if you will, in a sense of when I'm going to have a master course, or if I'm going to do a live, or if I'm going to offer something. Sometimes I have to offer it before it's actually done, or I have to say that there's going to be a live before I've actually decided on the content, because I'm like, okay, I have to show up on September the 1st at 6 o'clock and I have to get that sorted. And for me, that's one way of making myself accountable, is because if I keep waiting until like, oh, I think this would be a good week to launch this, or this is going to be a good time to have this live, or this is a good day to make video content, then I just continue to just wait and wait and wait and wait.
Yeah, I definitely think that's, I'm in the same boat. There's a test called like the 4 tendencies, and one of them being an obliger. So an obliger will show up for other people, but they're not going to necessarily show up as consistent for themselves. So having that outside source as an accountability, even for myself, moves me closer to doing something. And it just kind of makes me think of like, and this was actually a few years back, I really, really wanted to get into 30 minutes of movement every single day. Honestly and truthfully, more for my mental state than just like, I want to be fit and physical. Right. And I remember asking around, like I asked all my neighbors, I asked my friends, I was like, hey, can you meet me at the track? Can we go running? Can we do, you know, or walk, or, you know, whatever. And some would do it. They wouldn't flake. They wouldn't. And I would find when they didn't show up, I didn't do it. And so I actually started with some of my lives where I'm like, I'm just going to go live. And I just hit live and I just started recording myself walking. And what happened is people would see it. And if I missed a day of that recording, they'd be like, oh, did you do your morning walk? And so it kept me accountable. And when I tell you, like in the beginning, those videos were like not barely a minute, right? Like they were so short snippets, but it was just me, ha ha ha, like here I am walking, guys. Here's my scenery. You know what I mean? And then I upgraded to started talking about stuff. So now, like if you see my morning walks every once in a while, I'll pop in and I'll actually have something that I think is important to say, but again, it's super short. So I kind of implore people that are listening to that point, put things in place to keep yourself accountable and have fun with it. And the honest truth is, it's better that you aren't very good in the beginning when you only have two or three people watching you versus like you blow up and have tons of people watching you and you didn't get that practice out first. So do all the bad stuff while, you know, your audience is still low, right? Because you'll hone in on those skills, right? You're just going to get better. Like that's the reality. I actually have a live that I did. My son is a baby. And it was when I was first starting to try to do lives, and he comes in and he takes off his diaper and he goes, "Mommy, I have to poop." And I keep that recording because it reminds me. And I mean, I was horrified because it was live. I was horrified. You could see it in my face. You could see my expressions. I just stopped the live at that point. But I keep that as a reminder because I'm like, look how far I've come, right? Look how far I've come. It's okay. Things happen. And do you know, like after that live, I don't even know what I was talking about, but I got more people actually DMing me, talking to me like, girl, like you're real. Like, I love it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was so cute. Like, and so you just never know how it's going to come across for people. So just, yeah, do it scared. It's okay.
Oh, yes. I totally agree. Because I think a lot of times also that mothers and business owners don't always coincide. They, people say that, oh, well, you can be a good mom, but I'm not sure you can be a good mom and a good business owner. And yeah. I love where you talk about like your son coming into the video, because for me, it's the summer and my daughter, she's 4 now and she started school this past year, but she only went half days. And so many times during a podcast or during lives, she's in the car next to me, comes in, that type of stuff. And she's talking and she's like, "Oh, mama, I need a snack," you know, right this second. And I think when people see that, they relate to you, and you're right. Then all of a sudden they're just like, "Oh, you're a real person. You, you know, you have real problems. You had a child, they came in, they want a snack. You're just like all of us." And then people they flock to you more because they're just like, "Oh, she's relatable."
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Dana, I want to ask you another question. How has your perspective on life changed over the years?
Tremendously. I will say, and this is probably something a lot of people won't, when I say this, they'll be like, "Really?" So I have always been, and I do feel like this does play a part in my autism. And learning over the years how to regulate my emotions. So I am either like hyper ha la 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 up here, or I'm like, I hate all of the people and I wish nobody would talk to me, right? Like there's not really an in between with me. And so while I was younger, a lot of times that manifests into anger. I actually fought a lot. But the things that I would fight over would be like injustices that I saw, or things that I would fight over is not feeling like someone was hearing me. So even I remember one altercation in school, and the little girl, because again, remember, I was in special classes and things like that, and she kept essentially picking on me. And I told the teacher did nothing. I told her to stop, right? And I'm trying to communicate, but again, I don't know how to regulate I'm working through regulating my emotions. And so because I don't feel heard, I feel like then I have to take justice into my hands, right? And I will say this too, if you're listening, if you are on the spectrum or you have a child that's on the spectrum or you're working with somebody on the spectrum, this is super, super important, because not being able to communicate or feeling misunderstood, that people are not understanding you, is probably some of the most frustrating states to be in. And so over the years, I had to learn that there's more emotions than happy, sad, and angry, right? Like, because it was either those three, or I didn't have anything in between that. And once you can understand, maybe actually you're disappointed with this certain situation, then you can communicate to that person, actually, your particular behavior didn't show up and manifest the way that I would have liked it to. And so then that person can then better counter your emotions. And now granted, there's mean people out there and there's some people that they're not going to care, right? But for the most part, if they're in your circle and they love you, they're going to be like looking at it differently because now they're like, oh, well, she didn't snap at me and go off, right? Like she just told me I disappointed her with these actions. That wasn't my intention. I didn't realize that when I didn't show up for her in this way, for her, it came off as, you know, you let me down. And so over the years, as I've matured and getting much older now, I've learned to work through those things where it also helps me when it comes to working with other people, because I realize that sometimes, like even if I'm at the grocery store and the lady is going off on me because I'm in her line and she wanted to shut down, I'm like, she's angry, but there's something bigger because I've not done anything actually wrong, right? Like there has to be something bigger than this situation and what we see. And so it really gives me more empathy in life and how I function and I manage around people, just because I know my own experiences and how I had to grow, evolve. And I'm still working at it. Like, honestly and truthfully, if you ask my children, I'm still the yelling parent. I'm sorry. I try to work through that, but it's getting better, right? Like, and I acknowledge it. And when they bring it to my attention, then I try to adjust, right? It's not perfect, but it is that progression that I have seen for myself and how I develop with my emotions and my feelings and connecting.
Thank you so much for sharing. I think that's really insightful, what you've shared and how you've grown over time and how your perspective has changed, because perhaps some of our listeners find themselves within that spectrum that they are feeling like they have only had happy, sad, and angry feelings. And they're not sure how to understand other people's emotions or how to express their other emotions or understand what they're seeing or what they're vibing, the energy that they're receiving from other individuals, whether that be their kids or there be their partners or people at the grocery store, like you said. And I think sharing your story and opening up and sharing your experiences is really impactful for our listeners and to me, because those that tune in, we understand a little bit more and a little bit more. And as we grow and we expand and understand more, then we also become more empathetic.
Yes.
The last question I have for you, Dana, is what advice would you give to someone who is trying to find their path in life?
Patience, patience, patience. I feel like everybody has an inner intuition and knowing. I really do feel like that, but I feel like many of us, even in childhood, were told to either suppress that, ignore that, or not acknowledge that. And so if you've lived your life 20 some years, 30 some years, suppressing that, understand overnight, it's not going to all come back, right? Because now you have all these other working voices that are negative and telling you no. And so I really feel like you need patience. And I'm gonna go back to that community thing. You need people around you that are going to hone back into what your inner knowing is. I actually just recently had a conversation. I do consider her my good friend, but we are maybe about 14 years apart, okay? So I'm 14 years her senior. So honestly and truthfully, like, you know, maybe not quite old enough to be her mom, but like maybe younger auntie or something like that. And she just expressed her current situation when it comes to her employment. And the very first statement that she made was she took some time off for her health, her mental health, because she couldn't handle the amount of weight that her job was giving her. She has all these ambitions and dreams for a business, but she said, but that's where my health insurance comes. That's where this comes. If I stay a little longer, I'll get a raise. But I said, but what was the first thing you said? Your inner knowing and the very first thing that you said is where you need to lean into, right? And now granted, are there fears? Of course, because she is a single parent. She is the breadwinner of her home. So yes, if her kids get sick, they need to go to the doctor. So insurance is important, right? But my pushback to her is, let's be patient, because you also have a gift need and you have a business idea. So why not, while you're working this job, have your escape plan, right? That's going to take patience, because in order for your business to make the money that your job was making and to cover insurance, right, it could take you 5 years. It could take you 10 years, right? But if you're focused on that vision and you're patient with yourself and you're patient with your, and you realize that the goal is the same, although the route to it might change, the goal is the same, you'll get there. You will get there. There's no doubt that you will not get there, because you will find your right people, you will get in the right spaces, you will find the right rooms, and you'll get there, but you might have to be patient. And so that would be my biggest advice to anybody. It's there. I believe it's there. You just might need to tap back into it and kind of get those other negative things that took you so far from your knowing, and kind of revamp all of that.
That's such an inspirational share, is that just coming back to ourselves and being patient with ourselves. Because for me, I know absolutely it's one of the things I struggle with, is being patient with myself to recover when I'm overstimulated, to be patient with myself in my business, be patient with myself in producing my products or producing my copy or growing over time. It's like, I want it now. You know, why do I need to be patient? And so I think that is absolute brilliant advice and very inspirational, because people also need to understand that it is a quality that is a necessity in business. You must be patient. You must be patient as you're progressing through your path, that no one receives things just all of a sudden. No one is an overnight success. They have worked day in, day out for years, and then all of a sudden they're on a worldwide stage. But they didn't just be like, hey, I'm here, I arrived. You know, they worked hard for it, and they were patient, and they dug in every day and said, you know, this is my vision and this is where I'm going.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I want to thank you so much, Dana, for coming on to Step Into Your Sunshine and sharing all your insights. You have been such an inspiration for all of us to listen to. And I would love for you to share, where can we get connected with you?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm on all of the social platforms. What now? We got Threads. We have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. You can find me on all of the socials, the same handle. It's Dana, D-A-Y-N-A, and then Oily Hair Boss. So O-I-L-Y, Oily Hair Boss, H-A-I-R-B-O-S-S. If you just type that into any of the search, you will find me. I promise I'm there, and I'm pretty active. I mean, I think because it's part of my business, I do streamline a lot of things, and I'm pretty active on all the social platforms.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, for all of our listeners, you can tune in on Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. UTC time, 7 p.m. UK time, and 1 p.m. US Central Standard Time. I can't wait to talk to you guys soon. And I hope you all have a good evening.